Welcome to each of you, and our special welcome to those who are visitors with us. I'd like to acknowledge a special visitors all the way from California, Pastor Mark and Debbie Oatman. And we're glad you're here with us, and thank you for your presence. And they're part of a group of PLI, Pastoral Leadership Institute, that Desiree and I and Chanda are a part of with the Oatmans, as well as several others. And so we're going to be doing that later this week and celebrating that. We just are glad they're here to worship with us. We're also glad that you're here to worship with us. Now, just for a couple of housekeeping items, there's two cards in the pews in front of you. There's a blue and an orange one, or a yellowish one. The blue one is for prayer request, or for not prayer request, but for just letting us know you're here. And if you're a visitor, we'd like to have you fill that out as well as our members. Of course, we want you to fill that out. And if you have a prayer request on the yellow one, please note that as well. And we receive those from anyone and everyone, our visitors as well as our members. And so we'd like to know that if you have a prayer request, we'd like to include that later. It would be good for you to fill those out in the front part of the service. We'll be gathering the prayer cards after the scriptures are read. This is the fun part that we get to do, and that's to stand and welcome one another with an Easter joy that He is risen, He is risen. Amen. Morning, please remain standing. We begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. We pray. Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy and for the sake of your holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death, of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray together. Almighty God, grant that we who have celebrated the Lord's resurrection may by your grace confess in our life and conversation that Jesus is Lord and God through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
The first reading is in the book of Acts, chapter 4. The full number of those who believed were one heart and soul, and no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. And with great power the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of Lord Jesus, and the great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were followers or owners of lands or houses sold them, and brought the proceeds of what was sold, and laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle lesson is from 1 John chapters 1 and 2. That which was from the beginning, which we have had, heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon, and we have touched with our own hands, concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it, and testified to it, and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father, and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and the word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. This is the word of the Lord.
Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, Sunday of Easter, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad, and when they said to the Lord and saw him, Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But Thomas said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails and place my finger into the mark of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, Jesus' disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood amongst them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put your hand into the place, it into my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of the Lord. And peace be richly and abundantly poured out upon you this very day. Our text is taken from the epistle of 1 John chapter 1 through chapter 2, verse 2. As I look at this text, it is with almost like a newscast. We are seeing all the report of eyewitnesses. And if we were in a conversation with the beloved disciple, John, we would hear him saying to us, "We were there. We were really there. We saw this with our own eyes. This is really what happened." Dear fellow believers, we have the direct eyewitness report of what happened concerning Jesus Christ. John was in prison and banished for life to the island of Patmos for his testimony and belief that Jesus did die and on the third day did rise again and showed himself to the disciples and many others and performed many miracles which were not even recorded yet bear account of this fact. John was also there as a testimony to all the other disciples who saw the very same thing. I remind you, my friends, that all of these disciples all would be martyred for this same eyewitness account. Not one of them defected. Not one of them denied. All would die holding and clinging to the claims of what they had seen, what they'd heard, and what they'd touched. John put it in these words: what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our own hands concerning the word of life. And this life was manifested, was shown, and we have seen and testify and proclaim to you eternal life. So what we have seen, we proclaim to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write so that your joy may be complete. There are two reasons why John writes: for fellowship with us as Christians and with the Heavenly Father. But that interesting word called fellowship means a oneness. A oneness that it would be like unto family. We are family with the disciples. We were among the brotherhood, if you will. We are fellow partakers and believers. We are in a fellowship. We are family. We are friends. But you remember that John also says the same is also true with the Father and with the Son. And as Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed that we would be made one with the Father, even as he is one with the Father. And that is what John, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is writing. That God, the Holy Spirit, is at work in your life and mine to make us one. I have a fellowship, a friendship, to be in a family of faith and believers. We're not mere acquaintances of God. We're called His sons and His daughters. And this fellowship, this communion, this time and opportunity of being one with Him is so that our joy may be made complete. This past week I had a neighbor that passed away. Somebody you know, some of you may even attend his funeral. They had started to worship with us. And we're very thankful for that. But I want to share with you the faith that this man clung to and died with. He was someone who believed in his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And even after he'd gotten the news that his liver was failing and that death was imminent, after receiving communion, he just hung his head low and shook his head. And finally, I asked him, "What's going on between your ears?" Finally, he looked up and he said, "I'm just thankful. I am a blessed man." Amidst death and dying, he was thankful for his fellowship, his oneness with his Heavenly Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. His joy was complete. And soon he would be joining the company of saints on the heavenly side, not lacking anything. You heard me right. A joy made complete. Now, this is the message we have heard from him, John writes, and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there's no darkness at all. Simply put, God is transparent, he is truthful, and he is holy, and that holiness is in him, is there's no element of darkness or evil inside of him or near him. He is holy, without sin, and must separate, according to Isaiah, separate himself from sin. Because of his holiness, my friends, our sinfulness is exposed, our evil and our darkness. But God's word, it is sharper than a two-edged sword. It cuts both ways. It's able to separate bone from marrow like a laser, or like the splitting of atoms, God's word is able to go down deep in our lives and to penetrate even into our soul, judging not only the actions but the motives. If we say that we have fellowship with God, John writes, and yet walk in darkness, we lie and we don't practice the truth. In street language, we cannot run with the devil and claim to walk with God. We are lying to ourselves and to our world. We are not in fellowship with God. But if we walk in the light, John continues, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship, a oneness with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Now, I remember just a few moments ago, we said in our liturgy, and we say it almost weekly, especially in the liturgical services, in some form or fashion, we say, I, a poor and miserable sinner, what? Confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you. This man complained and he said to me while I was serving a church in Nashville, he wasn't worshiping with us, but he came to me, he knew me as a friend, and he says, why do you Lutherans tell these good people that are coming through the doors of church, especially the visitors, that they're poor and miserable sinners? You think that's going to make them want to come back? And so I share with you why we do that today. His complaint was worth noting. Why do we do that? I'll tell you why I do. It's because I want people to see that they are sinners and they need a Savior. I want them to know that we, here inside of this church, are not perfect people either, and that we need a Savior. But here inside of this church is the worship service that reminds us not to hide our sins from God, as Adam and Eve did as they cowered in the Garden of Eden, trying to get away from God and trying to hide from Him. Inside of our worship, we are told rather to confess our sins unto Him, because He is faithful and just to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Here in church is forgiveness found, sin is removed, and fellowship with God is restored. I, by virtue of my office, I say, at the command of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And my friends, that's very good news. I know for one, I'm a sinner, a poor and miserable one. And I need that forgiveness. And I'm sure you do too. I'm sure as we examine and look at our life and stand before God Himself that we can say, yes, O Lord, forgive me, for I have sinned. And as you and I start to see that, we come to confess our sins unto Him, knowing that He has promised here in this place to forgive us our sins, and in His Word to restore us and to return the joy of our salvation, and in the waters of baptism to remind us daily that we're renewed and refreshed and regenerated to be transformed and to become new creatures. But you know, sometimes we do wander off the path, don't we? We go into dark places that we don't intend on going. And sometimes we do fall into sin, intentionally. Now, my friends, there are all kinds of sins, secret sins, sexy sins, sins of greed, envy, gossip, jealousy, sins of idolatry and the like. Some of our sins may be publicly hidden, but not hidden before the eyes of an all-seeing and all-knowing God. All these sins, my friends, however, can be forgiven and are offered to be forgiven in the blood of Jesus Christ. Yes, all of them. The Bible tells us without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness. God's currency for cashing us out is from the curse of sin, is only paid for in the blood of Christ, which was shed for you upon Calvary's cross. That's why the cross is such a big deal. It's why Holy God Himself would separate Himself from His Son as He sacrificed Jesus there on that cross. As Jesus cried out, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," my God, why have you forsaken me? The Heavenly Father was actually separating Himself, His holiness, from His Son, the sinner stained with the sins of the world of all time. The wrath of the God the Father was being meted out, poured out on Jesus, God's own Son, who did die on that cross. Our sins were paid for, not with charitable acts that we do, or giving or service, not with the blood of goats or of bulls, but only with the holy and precious blood of Jesus, God's own Son. God took all the certificates of sins. Can you imagine? I hear a lot of people talking about, you know, when I get to heaven, I know that God's going to judge me, and He's going to look at all the things that I've done. He's going to read me and make me see, stand publicly before Him, and all of these terrible things that I've done will be revealed to everyone. Not so, my friends. Because God took all the certificates of all those sins that He knows, that He sees, that He understands. He saw you do them. He saw you commit them. He saw you as you walked through those days and wondering how to get rid of them. And the stain of the sin, the smell of the sin, the stench of the sin, the stain. He said, "I'm willing to deal with it. I'll take care of it." Those certificates of sin He nailed to the cross of Calvary. And His own Son's blood was that which paid for it. And that's why in this epistle, John writes, the blood of Christ cleanses us of all sin. But if we say we have no sin, we get none of that. We deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. We confess our sins, however, God is faithful and just. He's right to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. But if we say we haven't sinned, we make God to be a liar, and His word is not in us. My friends, you don't have to run or hide. Confess your sins unto Him. He's faithful, He's just, and He will forgive you of your sins. I really find it interesting in the Greek, it's how deep Christ's forgiveness and depth of His removal of the stain of sin goes. The Greek word here in the depth that describes the depth and thoroughness of this forgiveness and cleansing is katharizo. You may hear in that word cauterize or cauterize, a medical term that means taking a hot instrument and touching it to the wound and to remove the infection, to put a searing, branding iron type of thing right into the wound to take care of the infection and to seal up that wound. As sinners stained, but also wounded by sin, what a beautiful picture this is. As we confess our sins unto God who is faithful, what will He do? He will forgive us, but He will also seal up our wounds of sin. And my friends, that's better than a mulligan in golf any day, because all we have to do there is to do it over again, possibly to do it worse. But here we see God actually stepping in and taking care of our sin, yours and mine, forgiving, cleansing, cauterizing, not only cleansing and purifying, but forgiving, healing, and sealing the wounds of sin left in our life. I've seen a lot of people who are devastated by a death or a divorce, the loss of a job, or some other situation in life. But when God is present in His Word, as we are in that fellowship of oneness with Him, as He cauterizes those wounds of worry and deception and deceit and sin in our life, He brings His healing to our life. John writes, "My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if you do, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the righteous one, who himself is the payment for our sins, and not only ours, but the world's." What a wonderful chapter this is that we've just gone through. It's truly an example of God's love letter to you and to me. And what we start to see here is we see the love of God, the Father. He doesn't call us children of wrath. In fact, he calls those of us who are truly sinners, saints, sons and daughters, his little children. As you and I start to think of it, we have an advocate as we stand before the Heavenly Father in the highest of heavenly courts, and we are charged with sin. We just hear Jesus saying to his Father and to ours, "This is my child. I died for him. I died for her. My blood purchased him, purchased her. She is redeemed. He is redeemed from their sins." And as the gavel go down with God's judgment, the book of Jeremiah writes, "Our sins he remembers no more. Our sins have been cast into the depths of the sea. And our sins are separated from us as far as the east is from the west. And we are forgiven." My prayer for us is, Lord, that you would help us to walk here at Trinity in the light and to be in fellowship with you. Secondly, how to notice when we've gone off course. And finally, how to learn from and be strengthened by the witness of John and others who were eyewitnesses, so that we too can get through our struggles, our situations on this journey we call life. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the true faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand. The plates. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. And Savior Jesus, we thank you and praise you for allowing us to come into your presence. We confess unto you that we have sinned, that we have fallen short. We are poor and we are miserable, sinners indeed. Forgive us, O Lord. Draw us close as we want to run, as we want to hide from you. Because of our human nature, by your Holy Spirit, draw us close to you and return us unto repentance and renewal and regeneration. Through the waters of holy baptism, remind us that we are clothed in Christ the redeemed, that we are washed and made new. As we receive the Holy Supper, may we be hearing the words that we are to take and eat, to take and drink for the forgiveness of our sins. Oh Lord, as we've heard in this message, your word tells us that you are faithful and just to cleanse us of all sins. All the sins that are upon our hearts and minds have been forgiven, are gone, paid for, removed, because of the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. And for that, O Lord, we thank you. We praise you. And we ask that you would help to protect this congregation and its ministry of church and school. That your providential care would be upon us, its pastor and principal and directors and staff. That we pray, O Lord, that you would be with our teachers. We pray, O Lord, that you would help us to teach these young children as they come onto our campus throughout this week. That you would be with us as we serve and worship you here this day. That you would help us to share this good news, not only inside here, but outside there. And Lord, help us to live and to walk with you in the light so that our joy may be even more complete. Lord, in your mercy. And now, O Lord, hear the prayers offered for those and requested for those that have been gathered.
Lord, the congregation lifts up the following prayers to you. Pray for Tim Conyers and family, for grief and support following the death of his nephew, Jonathan. We pray for Emily and Jonathan Yaman, safe travels to and from home, and God's blessings on Jonathan's medical skills exam on Monday. We pray for Carolyn Merrick that you help her with her pain and that you remove it with your healing hand. We pray for Lynn for positive outcome for tests for abdominal problems. We also pray for Elder Lance Bell, former Elder Lance Bell, that he has continued blessings and healing and a full recovery. We pray for Nicole that you help her find strength in her battle with cancer. Please be with her family and bless them as well. We pray for Rocky and Kaylee Smothers as they travel abroad to different countries, that you be with them and guide their travels safely. We also pray for Alejandro, who's in ICU and is the grandfather of a longtime school and family friend. We pray for your healing and strength for him. We also pray for Quinn, 1-year-old girl, suffering with symptoms of autoimmune disease. Lord, in your mercy.
O Lord and Savior, be with the Estes family as they mourn the loss of their father, their husband, and their friend. O Lord, be with all those who are sick and in recovery. Bless PLI as they meet this week. Be with all who look to you for your goodness and for your mercy, for your healing and for your help. Restore unto us also the joy of our salvation each and every day. And now, O Lord, we pray that prayer which you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. Meet and right so to do. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who out of love for his fallen creation humbled himself by taking on the form of a servant, becoming obedient unto death, even death upon a cross, risen from the dead. He has freed us from eternal death and given us life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising you and singing. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had broken it and had given thanks, he gave it unto his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given unto death for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Also he took the cup, and when he had supped and had given thanks, he gave it unto his disciples, saying, "Take and drink ye all of it, for this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is given and is shed for you, for the remission of all your sins. As often as you drink it, do this in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. This cup which we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? This bread which we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Oh, taste and see how good the Lord is. Come, for all is now ready. unto the Lord, for he is good. Endureth forever. O God, the Father and fountain and source of all goodness, when loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into our flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and bring you his peace. You may be seated.
Hey, announcements this afternoon. I hope I have some slides to support me because I don't know if I'll do the best description. I have a list here. I think regular voters meeting tomorrow evening, 6:30 p.m. here in the sanctuary. I guess I have these in different order. Yes, this is the one I had first. This is the most fun one. Comfort dog puppy shower still in progress. Everyone is invited to participate. There is the puppy shower, I forget the name for it, in the narthex that has all the different items on there that are still needs. So if you have in your heart to go ahead and fulfill one of these needs, take one of the, not leaves, but one of the tags off the thing there. And Sunday, April 15th, after the 11 a.m. worship service, there will be an appreciation meal served in the fellowship hall for that. And see, the next one is the last cottage meeting, for what I understand, is coming up Saturday, April 14th at 3:30. It's in the fellowship hall. And there's a sign-up sheet, I think, for that. And then there is a new foundations class that begins April 18th. It's 6:38. I guess you can register online or it's in the weekly. That's where you'll find details about that. And I think that's the last one I have here, unless there's one I don't know about. You have one, Pastor?
No, I'm not going to have you stand up yet. I wanted to, first of all, say with the foundations class, we're going to be talking about the six things that we find out in the Bible, the six main teachings. And so if you're wanting to know what those are, we'd love to have you join us for those classes. Wednesday evenings, April 18th, and it begins at 6:30. With some fellowship, and then starts at 7. We will be offering those for 8 weeks, and we're also going to learn how to do some prayer journaling, and as we walk through, we'll also learn those six main things, and then also, last but not least, we'll be learning how to share our faith in Jesus Christ. So I think it'll be a wonderful class. I'm looking forward to it myself, and I hope you'll be there. You can sign up for it, as Brendan had said, in the back or online. Actually, online would be best. Or take one of those cards and simply give it to me or one of the ushers at the back and say your name and foundations class. I also wanted to say and take this time, there are so many people I would like to say thank you to. We had a wonderful Holy Week. We had a wonderful Lenten season with soloists and people who were new to serve in that capacity, or at least coming back to do so, that haven't done that on a regular basis. Our choirs, our bell choir, all the people who ran PowerPoints, the people who set up sound and technology outside as well as inside, the flowers, the arrangements, the festivities, the entire day was so wonderful. We had people who have come back into this flock who've been away for a while. I was so thankful to see you welcoming them with the love of Christ. I was also so overwhelmed as I saw that our congregation was able to celebrate for Saturday and Sunday 707 people coming to hear the gospel message, to hear the story of Christ risen from the dead. That's a few more than we have here today. And this is good for a Sunday after Easter. But I want you to know, God is at work. He's at work through you and through us together. There's so much our staff does. I just want to say we've got a wonderful staff. I see Eric and Wendy there, and I see Julia and Dan and Chanda and Rose and Colette and Liz, who are not here in the Magnolia building, but then there's 100+ other people who serve the Lord here. Could we just thank God now in a moment of applause and say thank you, God? Tim, you did a wonderful job on organ throughout that entire time, and we had a wonderful selection of music that we celebrate both traditionally and contemporary. Our bell choirs, our adult choirs, our downstairs choirs, our children's choirs. God was at work. It was wonderful. In the 5+ months that Desiree and I have been here, we have fallen in love with you. Thank you, Trinity. We love you. God bless. God bless the ministry in the days and years that will be ahead of us as we walk together this thing called faith and life. God is at work in and through you, in and through us, and that's by His choice. God bless you. Let's stand and sing our closing hymn.